Place to Be Nation, what is going on? Chad Campbell here with another pod blast. This will be part two in our Learning to Love Okada series. I'll be looking at the second part of the first half of 2012 for Kazuchika Okada with three matches on the docket today. So let's dive right in. We'll start with a match that he had versus Captain New Japan. This was in an April Currican Hall show. And this isn't much of a match. I mean, in my written review on ProWrestlingOnly.com, I kind of equate this as New Japan's version of a squash match, and I stand by that. But it is interesting just to look from a time frame standpoint in 2012 to 2017 with this type of match, because this is a match that goes about 8 minutes. Captain New Japan gets in some offense against the IWGP champion, but not, you know, they're pretty short burst and little glimpses of hope before Okada is able to put him away with the Rainmaker. But this is the type of match we have not seen in a couple of years now, where you've seen the IWGP champion in a singles match and kind of one of these spot shows in Korakuen Hall, having just essentially a showcase match against a different opponent, and Captain New Japan is the perfect opponent to kind of fit into that role. So he looked well enough here. I thought Okada looked well enough here. So again, this is nothing that's going to tell you one way or another how great a wrestler really Okada is. It's just an interesting look in and something that they don't do now, and something I wish they did do more, because I do think with the amount of times that New Japan has ran Korakuen Hall in 2017, it sort of desensitized the gravity of that arena. And that's really a shame, where New Japan Korakuen Hall shows now really don't feel special at all. And that's really unfortunate. So let me get off my soapbox there for a bit, and we'll move on to our next match, which is versus Hirooki Goto. And this is at Wrestling Dontaku. This is an interesting match right here, because you had Goto, who by this point in 2012 hadn't really developed his choker gimmick. He was still kind of on the rise, probably projected for sure to be a IWGP champion himself at this point. And he's going up against Okada. This is a complexing match. I can see some people really digging this match. I looked at Alan Coulihan, Alan Forel's star ratings after I watched this match, and saw that he ranked this match very, very highly. I think 4.75 stars. And it's a match that I liked a good chunk of, but it never really grabbed me. And I don't know if that is mainly because of my disconnect with both Okada, but especially Goto. I mean, Goto is someone that I've never connected with, and I can't quite put my finger on why. I mean, he does work a real stiff style, which I enjoy. He doesn't work light. He has some versatility in his moves. He can do some limb selling at times, but there's just something about his matches and the way they're structured that I'm never really invested in them in the finishing stretch, unless his opponent is given a really standout performance, such as Kenny Omega at the G1 final in 2016. And that kind of played a part into this match, where now you're starting, I think with this match, you really start to see some of the tropes and the tendencies that Okada's using throughout 2012 in his singles matches. The lifting the opponent onto the top rope and then drop kicking him out to the outside of the floor, that gains Okada offense again in this match. Using the flapjack as a transitional move. Using his little wonky Toryman style neck submissions, and then building right towards that Rainmaker. And this match exemplified that. He used all those. The transitions were fine up to the finishing stretch. This match kind of changed a little bit from what we'd seen so far, where Goto didn't target Okada's leg. He actually targets Okada's neck, so you kind of have competing neck work between the two. Which was fine. I mean, again, I keep using that adjective to describe this match. I mean, I thought it was good. I really thought the match was good. Had some burst of great stuff mixed in. The finishing stretch, I thought we went a little bit into a bit of excess where it felt like Goto gave Okada just about every huge move in his arsenal. Okada, in turn, gave Goto about every big move in his arsenal minus the Rainmaker. So while, you know, good job still protecting the Rainmaker for the finish, this was where it became a little worrisome with a finishing stretch of stretched out to about 4 or 5 minutes of just, I do a move, you kick out, we dance around a little bit, transition, and then you do a move, I kick out, and so forth, which is not my scene at all. I ended up going 3.5 stars on this match, and again, that's kind of the type of match where one day I may wake up and say that's way too generous, one day I may wake up and say, that's a little harsh, but that's sort of, I think, a good landing spot for this match. You know, very good. I didn't think it was anything close to a match of the year candidate. I thought Okada in the match himself was fine to good, but certainly nothing stand out. The last match I'm going to talk about today is the Dominion match, which was on June 16, 2012, versus Hiroshi Tanahashi. The big rematch from New Beginning. And this is an interesting match that I've taken a journey with. This match, once it came out, a lot of hype, 4.75 stars rating slapped on it by Meltzer, something I watched at the time and thought, yeah, that's a great match, but I'm about at 4 stars. Then your 2012 match of the year list came out. This finished second for Voices of Wrestling. And again, I rewatched it, kind of doing my year-end wrap-up, and came away with the same feeling. Maybe even liked it a little smidge less. It was a match I liked, but I kind of didn't see where this, you know, all-timer great match hype that was being thrown upon it came from. So I went in, you know, admittedly with my past history of this match, a little pessimistic, and I have to say I was kind of blown away by this one. This is the first big surprise of this project for me, as I thought this match was fantastic. This is another match like the Naito match I watched twice, and it didn't lessen my opinion on it the second time watching it. Just a really fantastic match. I do think the legwork in the Naito match is better, slightly. At least Okada's selling is better in the Naito match here. Tanahashi did do a lot of good stuff on top with the legwork, and they do build a lot on the New Beginning match. I think that may have helped this match this time, as I watched it so closely with the New Beginning match. And so the transition at the end with the Tombstone, with that being the pivotal point in the New Beginning match, them kind of reversing. And again, in this match, it felt like whoever hit that Tombstone was taking control of the match for good. That really helped emphasize the match in my eyes. It was a great spot, great build-off spot. Again, with Okada, you're getting the same tendencies where drop kick from the top rope. You get the flapjack, I think, in this match. You get the wonky neck submissions, all the greatest hits for Okada. But he is building towards the Rainmaker, and I thought this match was very good in proving that the New Beginning match was not a fluke. I think Okada did a really good job in proving, hey, I belong in this ring with this ace Tanahashi. And that was very important to the overall meta landscape, especially with the finish of this match, because this is an Osaka crowd that was firmly behind Tanahashi. A really interesting face heel structure. I mean, where this felt like Tanahashi as Hulk Hogan going up against the Iron Sheik. You know, this was Tanahashi moment to regain the spot that he lost because he got a little overconfident. And the crowd's right there behind him when he ends up hitting the high fly flow at the finish. It's just an eruption in the arena. Another great moment. They protect the Rainmaker because it wasn't used by Okada. So I'm all in on this feud right now. I'm excited to see if the January 4, 2013 match delivers, because that's another one I was disappointed in real time. So I'm excited to see if they build off that. I think they've done some really good groundwork with the Tombstone and also with the Rainmaker right now. So here we go. 3 more matches for Okada. And and I went 4 3/4 on the Dominion match. Have it just slightly behind the Naito match. I still think I like that one just a smidge better. But, you know, now that is a match of the year candidate for me for 2012 in wrestling. So the three matches we saw here, one was a squash, one was a so-so performance. And I thought Okada was good to very good in the Dominion match. I think Tanahashi was very good, really probably great in the Dominion match. Actually, in 2012, I've been really impressed with Tanahashi's two performances in the singles matches versus Okada. I think he did a great job helping elevate him. So that's kind of where we're at with the first half of Okada's year. I mean, a meteoric rise. He's hung in there. He's felt like he's belonged. I wouldn't say he's even, you know, outshine like I just explained Tanahashi if I had to vote for a wrestler of the year, but he's done good. I mean, he's done good. He's been a good to very good wrestler. Only one great performance, I would say, so far with the Naito match. But we'll see what the second half of 2012 holds, and that'll be part three of Learning to Love Okada. So thanks again for listening, everyone. This is Chad Campbell signing off.